All right, hello everybody. Sendell Podcast number 63. Today I have a very, very, very special guest, Cyril Forte, who is the Sandbox DAO administrator. And today we'll be talking, it's mostly a meet and greet, as if you probably didn't know who he was already. But if you've been in the DAO, you know who Cyril is. And also learning opportunity, time for us to learn and just have a conversation with our DAO admin. Disclaimer is, actually this one might change a little bit. I, Lanzer, do not represent the Sandbox game or the Sandbox Foundation. Cyril, however, does represent the Sandbox Foundation, but the DAO, right? Represent the DAO.
Yeah, my company works for the DAO. We can say that.
Okay. And we are, no matter what our association is, neither of us are not your financial or legal advisors, and nothing we say is taken as either financial or legal advice. True for me, Cyril. True for you as well?
Yep.
When we say the word SIP, we mean Sandbox Improvement Proposal. When we say the word DAO, we mean Decentralized Autonomous Organization. And when we say the word SANFAM, we mean the Sandbox community, those who participate in the people, product, and purpose of the Sandbox ecosystem. That ecosystem looks a little bit like this. We're in the people, you have everything from the gamers to the Sandbox team. The product is everything from the game client to the DAO. And the purpose is what the white paper expounded upon originally, as discussed many times everywhere by Sebastian, Bourget, Arthur Medidid. And that ecosystem helps us go round and round each day. And today's episode is squarely on the DAO. As I said, my name's Lanzer. I am the host. We're 63 episodes into this thing. And today we'll be talking about the TSB DAO with Cyril. Cyril, if you wouldn't mind, please introduce yourself.
What's up, Lanzer? Thank you for having me. Thank you. Yeah, I'm Cyril Forte. I'm the founder of Arasakyo, which is the administrator of the Sandbox DAO. And happy to be here today to, you know, I've been with the Sandbox DAO since its inception as an admin since the 29th of May last year. So we're getting closer to anniversary, I guess. We should celebrate.
Very close. Yeah, we should celebrate.
Yeah.
And, can you pronounce your name one more time?
Cyril. If you want to say it right. But you can say Cyril. I'm used to it.
So I've been mispronouncing it this whole time.
No, you know, you and like 10,000 other people, so don't feel bad about it. I'm used to it.
And you are...
And when I was younger, I used to be called Cedric. So, you know, by French people, I mean. So, you know.
Gotcha. And your last name is Forte?
Forte, yeah, it's Italian.
Gotcha. And you own the company Arasakyo, or is it Arasak?
Arasakyo,
yeah. Which is Arasak. The company...
Arasak.io, but Arasakyo is the company name.
Which is the company that is like the DAO admin team.
Correct. Okay.
All right. So the discussion. Today's kind of like a lighthearted discussion. A lot of the DAO we've been DAOing since May, and we've been DAOing hard, to say the least. And as obvious, this podcast just by itself is dedicated to Sandbox, and we've done 63 of these things. So we've DAOed pretty a lot. This is really like, I would call it the capstone, a discussion between Cyril and I just to really talk it through and get an understanding. I mean, just the fact that we've been able to hear, Cyril, the thought process that you went through and digging in the sand, I think was like, for me, it was a watershed moment. I absolutely loved it and enjoyed that. And when you started giving like little anecdotes in the story times, they're in the forums, I loved every second of it because it helped me see and I started to see what was going on. Mm. Especially the term progressive decentralization. I heard that when you did NFC Lisbon, was it, in May?
And when we announced it, yeah.
Right, when you announced it and you were with Seb and you explained it. And at the time, I got all offended. I was like, progressive decentralization? This is a DAO. It's already decentralized. And then... Mm. And then over time, started learning what the nuance of that meant was, especially the way Sebastian explained it. Like, you have a child, you raise the child in the way they should go, and then you take the training wheels off. And
right.
Can you help me understand?
Prudent DAOing is what we've been trying to do.
What's that?
Prudent DAOing.
Prudent DAOing. Okay. All right. So how would you say progressive decentralization is coming along?
I think we've come a long way since the first day, to be honest. Like, if I remember, the idea was to have a strong SIP curation. Initially, we were even thinking about only having the sandbox making SIPs, believe it or not. We were like, the first step of the progressive decentralization could be only the sandbox is making SIP and the community get to vote. And then the community gets also the chance to make SIP. So, but we decided it was a bad idea. So we are at a stage where from the first day, what it felt like it was very much so, the decisions around the constitution, the decision around the council, everything was like kind of decided in advance. It got pushed forward to the community in one go. I think now we shifted to a realm where we've got the community council, for example, that you know and care about because we co-author that SIP with you. When we're trying to open up more and more to the community, what would be assimilated as governance seat, even though I don't really want to call them governance seat, but at least we're giving a more role, more power to the community with the community council. That didn't work out, unfortunately, but you see that was the effort to make it work with the domain allocators. That also, I know you are an applicant for a particular domain yourself. With the delegates, so now people can delegate their send or land to one of our 12 delegates. So there's also, you know, handing over more power to the community and having more solicitate more community participation, I think, is already a huge step towards more decentralization, because now all of a sudden we are electing people, we are putting forward people's vote. You know, you can select and elect your domain allocators. The delegate got chosen. That was a conscious choice, but the community council, for example, could be voted upon. So I would see all of that being a step towards progressive decentralization. And I would add to that the willingness for us to go above and beyond the limitation of our own bubble and our own ecosystem. If you look at our community today, what we call the Sand Fam, it's very much, you know, players, gamers, and owners, creators, etc. But we've tried with the CrossDAO SIP, if you remember, to reach out to other community, which is to me part of the path towards more decentralization. It's like how you pierce your bubble and also reach out to other community members that are maybe on the ApeCoin DAO, Star Atlas, why not? Etc. Yep. And trying to build is with these guys. Yeah, no, I'm saying this on purpose. You know what I mean? So it's about, you know, reaching out to other communities as well and expanding and having more people pitching ideas and the domain allocators. If you look at it this particular way with the SIP 25, which is the Questbook SIP, we will be featured on a website that will enable people that are outside our usual community to go and pitch for ideas themselves as well. So there's also, you know, a way for us to reach outside of our own bubble. So I think we're well engaged towards the path of more decentralization, that's for sure. I don't know if there is a clear milestone or a clear threshold we have passed to say we are fully decentralized, that's it. I'm not even sure we'll be ever fully decentralized, and we can talk about that in a minute with the way the foundation wrapper, you know, that we've put it around the DAO as a protection measure, what it means. So that's clearly like the clear legal limit, if you want, to the definition of being fully decentralized. But I would say for me, we will be more decentralized once we reach a certain critical mass in terms of engagement. I think we can do a better job at engaging with people outside of our community, get more SIPs in, get more people voting, participating on a forum, asking questions. To me, that participates into being more and more decentralized. Once we get more and more people interested, this stuff would run by itself, you know, after a while. That's I believe the goal here.
I really like that part. We'll be decentralized once we meet a critical mass. I think that's probably what both you and the community have been grappling with, is what does it mean to have successfully progressively decentralized? And now that we understand a little bit more what the wrapper is, how it's probably not possible to be fully decentralized like the pure academic version of it. But for in all practical purposes, once we achieve that critical mass of participation, I mean, we're electing our own people. We're participating in elections. We've got SIPs that we're able to push forward. I mean, that is decentralization, in my opinion, in all practicality.
I agree. And looking at it from the perspective of the admin team, right? We still receive a lot of SIPs. We're still participating in their curation. We're reviewing milestones. We're issuing payments. We still have issues with milestones review. With this stuff doesn't work smoothly or as smoothly as I would like. You know, if I were to represent what is my job, is like idea on one hand, work it out, and then you've got nicely packaged SIP on the other hand of the the trail, mm-hmm. And that's what we're trying to do. And everything else is at the service of producing SIPs. And then once the SIP is live, reviewing milestone, issuing payment, making sure it all works out, we still have trouble. Like there's still milestones review, you know, that doesn't really satisfy me. We've seen SIPs that have paused midway. We don't really know why. So there's still a lot of stuff that require manual input and human being behind the scenes kind of checking and making sure it's okay, reaching out to the author, being like, hey man, you've missed your milestone, what's up? Or the data you've provided is not sufficient for us to issue a payment, can we have a discussion? All of that stuff still happens. And to me, being in a position where all of that can be industrialized and being like almost robotic, I'm not trying to remove people, but being like really like processed, will be another step towards more decentralization.
Okay. Yeah. I forgot to make the disclosure that when Cyril was answering earlier about what was the next stage, he answered that question and he mentioned Star Atlas DAO. If you're watching, the reason why he mentioned that is because I was just elected to the Star Atlas DAO Council. So that's full disclosure. That's why he said that, and
and I should have. Oh damn!
It's cool. It's a lot of fun. I'm learning a lot because they also are a foundation company. So okay. I'm learning a lot. Like I'm meeting with the director and all that sort of stuff, and just learning a lot of what goes on behind the scenes.
I'm really looking forward to your inputs on how it is administered on their end as well. If there are some learnings.
Well, it's administered by the council mostly.
You are the MCC and everything.
It's Discord based, so it's like forum moderation, and you change tags, and then you submit it to the foundation director, and they do their sanity check, just like in the sandbox. But the DAO council is much more involved in the day to day, and we're also a big public face. We've already done two public meetings, and they're on YouTube. Like imagine the special council doing those meetings on Twitch and inviting it. That's what we're doing. Okay. It's just a different approach, different community. Yep. So I'm learning a ton.
That's awesome. This whole DAO thing is really an experiment. Like there's no two DAOs that are the same or with the same objective or with the same approach. And it's really, you know, we're trying to learn as we go, to be honest.
Making
mistakes is a good thing as long as we're learning from them, right?
I think that was probably my biggest mistake when I first started engaging in this, and I was so intense toward you all and the DAO admin team. Was I thought we knew what the answer was from the beginning. I thought you knew what the answer was. I thought like there was this thing that this is how you DAO. Come to find out, we are DAOing now, just as we were DAOing then, and this is like a continuum of DAOing that none of us really knows exactly because the biggest experiment. I didn't realize that in the beginning.
Yeah. I have to write my own, playbook.
You should. You should. You are the DAO maker after all.
Right. Yeah.
All right. So let's delve into the relationship between the foundation and the DAO. I have done, I think I'm on part 5 of my mini series now. So I've talked to American lawyers about DAO at case law. I've talked to Cayman Island lawyers about what foundation companies are. I've done my own read-through. I mean, I didn't expect the read-through of the sandbox documents to be 6 hours long, but it was. So I don't take any offense if no one watches that. That was mostly for myself. I could not believe. I learned so much reading through all that. Can you talk to me? What is your perspective on that relationship? Foundation of the DAO.
So first off, I'll invite everybody to refer to SIP 1 and 2, because this is where you've got most of the information about the constitution and the ratification of the foundation with its director, with the law firm, and everybody that got involved into forming that legal entity. So that legal entity is really here to exist as a wrapper. So it's twofold. It's a wrapper, but it doesn't really own the DAO. It's also acting as a conduit so we can have a footprint, so we can get contract signed, for example. Every time we buy a software or interact with a third party, for example, to get a piece of work done, the contract is with the foundation. So that's what the foundation is here for. And this foundation has a director, and we're moving to a company. It's going to be a company going forward. But there's a director, of which role is to represent the board of the foundation. And to back to what you were saying before about fully being potentially one day fully decentralized, this director is really the executive man that has veto power over everything the DAO does. The community is making a recommendation to the director, and the director is the one signing off on the SIP. And it's my team's job to make sure this goes without a hiccup. So every time there's a new SIP, we reach out to the director and be like, hey man, there's these new discussions going on. We've checked it. There's no particular thing that require legal input. I think it's a good one. And he asks his question and sign off and say it's good to go. And we're still working out the best process, but we're trying to have his sign off at the same time as doing council review. So, you know, when a SIP is live for discussion, before it gets published for voting, there's a 2 weeks discussion period. This is where the special counsel review the SIP, because it's mature enough to be presented to the special counsel. It's not like a discussion with like all of stuff still up in the air. It is mature enough for them, but it's yet before the actual voting process, so we can publish their recommendation at the top. You know, say council, thumbs up, thumbs down, or neutral. We do that, and as we push it to the council, at the same time, we push it to the director with all of our due diligence being made. And we say, hey, sometimes they require legal review. So it's our job, which lengthened the creation process, unfortunately. It's our job to say, hey, we reach out to our lawyers or TTA, reach out to them, talk to them about the SIP, they ask questions, we go back to the author, we make the modification, we clarify this whole thing up. So when it lands on the director's desk, we're making everything we can to make sure the director has answers to all of his questions, and he can just sign off on the SIP. Because what I'm trying to avoid as much as I can is for everybody to work hard and for the author to propose a SIP, for my team to review and curate, for the delegates to ask their questions, for the SIP to go live to a vote, and the SIP gets vetoed. That's a catastrophe, because it means we messed up along the way, and we should have anticipated that. So we're doing all of that due diligence work ahead. So when it lands on the director's desk, the director is like, yeah, cool, thumbs up. I'll follow what the community has to say, basically.
And what is it that you've seen, other than like the legal aspect, what are some questions that you've anticipated that we should be aware of?
Mostly the director will care about commercials and legal aspect. He'd be like, I don't feel this SIP is really, the value is not articulated well with regards to the cost, would be mostly his questions. It's like common sense stuff. You know, you're asking for a ton of money, but I don't see the benefit being clearly articulated. So then we go back to the author either to challenge it or to explain it in a better way. And we go back to the director, but it's mostly about legality. He doesn't want to be, rightfully so, he wants to make sure the DAO does not get into trouble. So I just want to make sure that the SIPs that pass that gets his approval are squeaky clean.
Got it. And when you say commercial, you're talking about, like, for instance, Sandchest, if it wants to have a partnership with an outside entity, like Thrive Protocol or whatever it is we go with in the end, is that the commerciality that you're discussing?
No, it's mostly for revenue sharing with the DAO, for example.
Commerciality with the DAO.
Yeah, or the price of the SIP itself. I'd be like, why are you asking like 2 million sand for this? You know, could be one of the conversation. I'm not saying that's what happens but you know, I'm just giving you an example.
Okay. So commerciality is more about the price of the SIP itself and like the impact on the DAO.
Yeah. And, okay. And to your point about the stakeholders that are part of a SIP, it will want to make sure there's been KYC'd, KYB'd, you know, everybody's legit, you know, that kind of stuff.
Got it. Interesting. Okay. Outside partners are KYC'd.
And the author, but the author is always KYC'd, KYB'd.
Now, here's a technical question I had when I was reading my 6-hour podcast. I still can't believe I did it 6 hours. That's just nuts. That makes no sense to me. Are we beneficiaries, members, or are we something else? Or is that should I leave that to a question?
Again, I'm not an expert lawyer. So okay. I'm inviting everybody to do their own due diligence, but I would say people are members of the DAO as long as they own sand or land. Because okay, being members of the DAO means you can participate on the forum, vote, and issue a proposal.
Got it. So what I was, and there's a big long list of questions I sent, like 33, and you responded back that it's going to take some time to get this. Last night I finally got around to prioritizing them. And that's the first thing I think that the community should know from the lawyers or from the director. Because beneficiaries and members are positions within the DAO and designations. It's important, at least to me, that I know which one we are. Because if we're
I'm inviting everybody to do their own research on this one. And that's also the official answers from the lawyers, to be honest. They cannot. We've been asking for the longest time to get some sort of a blanket statement. They cannot. It's like, we invite everybody to do their own research is the answer, unfortunately, because everybody lives in a different jurisdiction. That's the beauty of, a global community.
Mm. Okay. Alrighty. The next one is, you've seen the DAO even before it launched. How have you seen it evolve from when it was first conceptualized to now?
I would say we went across several stages, from overcoming expectation, I would say, from the community. Like you were saying at the beginning, you said you were very, not defensive, but
I was intense. I was aggressive and I was intense. Right. I demanded answers.
I demand some answers. Right. So we went through those stages. From a stage where we're trying to do our best, we've got this approach, let's see if it works. The community's mistrust, intensity, aggression, and now we've moved to something that is a bit more mature and grown up, I would say, where we kind of overcome expectation, I would believe, from the community. I think the community started to understand at least what the sandbox DAO looks like, and how is it about, or at least how it works. So we're moving towards a maturation state, I would say. And that is about, you know, let's get those SIP through the door. There's not so many questions about how this whole thing works. It's a bit more about, you know, let's get SIP through the door, how I can be involved in governance. Can I be a delegate? Can I be a DA? Can I be a community council? Can I be, you know, but that's good conversation. I really like where we are now, and it's less about proving the exercise of a DAO to the community and actually using the product, if the DAO could be called a product.
Yeah, I believe Kunta said quite a bit how that first, when he first got there, was about kind of rebuilding trust and kind of on the tail end of proving that the DAO should be there, I guess you put in quotes, but now you move to growing. Like now we are DAOing together, we're participating, we're building. Mm-hmm. And so where you would say we're moving toward the maturation stage, I think the next thing the question I asked last was, where will we be next, or what would be next? And you said cross DAOing. The SIP that just went up with Animoca Brands, the Animoca Tokenomics team, where they wanted to buy more into ApeCoin. Mm-hmm. What's your perspective of how that plays into the maturation stage?
Okay. So you're asking for my opinion, even though my opinion really doesn't matter because that's what the community decide, right? So I'm going to just answer personally because I don't
get to steer any of that stuff. Okay, maybe I'm asking the wrong question then. The question I'm asking is, when you're talking about you believe we're moving toward a maturation stage.
Right.
And in some cases, we are more mature than when you originally started.
Yeah.
Do you feel like we are in a maturation stage relative to other DAOs? Maybe that's the question I'm trying to ask.
Okay. I think we're still young, to be honest. If I look at ApeCoin DAO, for example, they have like 460 something AIPs.
Yep.
We've got a handful, 27, if my memory is correct. So we're far from being as prolific as they are. And they've been DAOing for longer. When I say maturing is like definitely, I don't think like we are in the stage of, I know you like planets and, you know, sci-fi and stuff. I think we've passed the Big Bang stage and now planets are kind of forming. So it's less chaotic. And now, you know, there's the gravity is taking place and we see like, okay, there's the council, there's the admin team, there's the community. There's like, everybody's like trying to understand what their different roles is. So that's what I mean, maybe by maturation. That doesn't mean there's oxygen on every planet potentially, but you know what I mean?
It's like, I get it. We're falling into our roles.
Right, right.
Okay, we're determining who we want to be and how we want to participate.
Like, right. If we do a draw parallel with, you know, basic project management, there's like storming, norming, and you've got stages you go through when you assemble the team. Yeah. And then, like, I think we're like in the norming stage, maybe not as performing as much, but at least we're in the norming stage where we're like, it's not as stormy as it used to be, but now it's like, okay, we've got more processes in place. We're trying to be super lean with the way we administer this whole thing up. We kind of have like a well-oiled machine. We're still tweaking it, but at least it's working. And now it's about getting into performing. And performing with me is like sip, 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 you know, do, 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 do. Proposal, vote, proposal, vote. We need to increase our sip cadence. Would be a good metric for us to observe. But to answer your question about cross-DAOing, it is for me a way to, from my perspective, right, as a human being, as a Sun fam, like everybody else, I see some benefit to reaching out to people that are outside your bubble. And it's the same when you have a kid, like the kid's universe is his bed, then it's his house, then it's school. You know what I mean? Like as you mature, your pushes your boundary and your universe becomes bigger and bigger. So I think that was the idea behind this SIP, right?
Yeah, I think as I've expanded into the other DAOs, first it was, you know, voting in other DAOs like Squiggle DAO or Whale DAO or ApeCoin. There's some others. And now I'm getting into governance of other DAOs as well. Like I'm learning that no two DAOs are the same, even if they both are foundation companies and they're both gaming DAOs, which is in this case, the Star Atlas, the way they operate is vastly different. Even internally, the rules aren't the same. It's really interesting. And I'm learning so much that as soon as I see this over in Star Atlas DAO, I'm like, wait a minute, we could be doing that in Sandbox DAO and vice versa. So I'm really seeing that play out. It's really fascinating. I'm having the time of my life.
Yeah, I'm glad. Right. And that's the spirit, right? It's just looking at what your neighbors do and then steal their ideas.
Yeah. What's your involvement in the foundation's day-to-day business? Or is there any for you?
Well, I'm reaching out to the director, like I said, and the admin team in general is collaborating with the director for SIP review. That's pretty much it. I'm liaising with the lawyers. The lawyers, like everybody else, is employed by the foundation, but it is about, you know, reviewing SIPs and making sure our contracts are good and making sure the DAO is protected. But I don't have a role per se. The only person that have a role at the foundation is the director, really.
Do you interact much with the lawyers at all, TTA?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Very often we've got a huge backlog, like I've told you. So, you know, I don't know when I will be able to answer your question, if ever. I'll do my best, but we've got a backlog that we track with them on Notion of stuff to do. They've been very responsive, so they're also learning how to work with us, right? Because it's a law firm and the admin team is very much a project team. So there's like automatism that we have that, you know, they don't necessarily have and vice versa. So we're learning how to work together, but they've been providing good advice and we're trying to have them at least giving a quick sniff test to every SIP. And sometimes it requires more than a sniff test. Contract review, you know, is one of them. What else? Sometimes they review podcast episode. You know, they might review this one.
Yeah. That's no problem. Right on. What's your involvement in the DAO's day-to-day business?
Well, As the founder of Arasakyo, being the admin team, the official admin team of the DAO, I would say my involvement is the sum of the team's involvement. So everybody has a dedicated role. So, you know, for example, Bobby, that is in charge of communication and being our community manager, you know, liaising with the community on the day to day, also doing forum moderation, etc. We've got it's been doxed, Juan P, who's our treasurer. And we've got Paul and Geraldine, which are in charge of SIP curation. So, you know, handling payment reporting, maintain relationship with partners, upgrade and maintain the DAO stack is one of our missions as well. So making sure the website stays up, making improvement to the website. I don't know if you realize we've been doing some language update recently.
I have noticed that. All right. Yep.
So we do that. Very sometimes good.
I know Sebga is happy with that one.
Oh, really?
Sebga, yeah. He talks about that a lot in the forums.
Really? Okay, cool. For example, following the publish at SIP 23, which was the new budget structure, we have to re-upload new budget category on the dashboard page and link them up to the new wallets that will support these new budget categories.
I tried to access the budget the other day or yesterday, and it's under construction.
It's under construction because of that. So reaching out to a back-end dev and front-end dev to make sure, you know, we've got, you know, basically back-end talking to the front-end and this whole thing being linked up correctly and being updated on a daily basis, not necessarily real-time, because that would mean too many blockchain calls that are too expensive. Sure. So, you know, thinking about all of that stuff.
And what about your involvement with the Sandbox team?
Okay. There's a lot about awareness, I would say. And some, you know, I get invited. I go to the office sometimes. I just talk to the people on the ground and I'd be like, hey, I think I'm carrying the flag of decentralization there, if you want. Sometimes be like, hey, you know you can do a SIP, right? You know, how about discussing with the community on this one? Can we do game jam with the community? We've tried. I think that was SIP 7 or 8. It didn't pass quorum, but was one of our ideas. Like I walk the floor and talk to the game jam manager and be like, hey, that'd be cool to have a game jam, because at the end of the day, it's people voting and selecting a game. So why not just, you know, asking the community to do so? The UGC SIP, remember, for the website, was also an idea we've got, talking on the floor with the Sandbox people. So we're trying to, you know, be like, hey, what can we do collaborating with the staff there that will, you know, that the community would love to do, because we want to decentralize more and more. I think the purpose of the DAO and the Sandbox DAO is to eventually have more decision-making powers in the end of the community, right? But somebody has to try to push this forward with the Sandbox teammates.
I think one of the biggest things that I didn't realize and I was slow to understand was the separation between the DAO and the Sandbox company. I mm-hmm. always knew that there was, you know, the DAO was its own legal entity once I understood the wrapper part. But what I didn't understand was that it's not just that there's a legal separation there. Like you are your own entity separate from the Sandbox. So when you walk in, it's not like, hey, we're in the same team meetings, and like when I talk that the team's going to listen. Like there's like a convincing a collaboration that you have to do.
Absolutely. And that's at the core of, remember the roadmap stuff?
Yep. Yes.
And how it was difficult to pass a SIP that is about a feature request for one of the sandbox product, being the game maker, the game client, or the voxel editors. These guys, they have their own roadmap. So imagine that would have been me or one of my teammates knocking at the door of the product manager in charge of these roadmap and be like, hey, the community is asking for this. And they're like, yeah, we're busy. Rightfully so. Because they have a whole roadmap of stuff they're trying to do, and they're pushing, and they get their own vision for the sandbox and their own ambition, and they are, this is their job. They've got product manager that are pushing for a vision for the particular product, and they manage a roadmap, and the community requesting stuff, they're like, oh, all right, we thought about it, it's not on the roadmap for this year. Actually it is, but we can't publish the roadmap as it is because it's changing so much that we don't feel comfortable putting it forward. These are all, from the sandbox point of view, it makes perfect sense. Having been a product manager myself, I totally understand. So when you say, I don't walk on water when I'm in the sandbox, it's all about convincing people to play the game of decentralization. It's not a done deal, but because it's a transformation, and every transformation is difficult, right? And you're moving from a model where people were employees and they get to do what their boss tell them to do, basically, to now they have to interact with the community and deal with community's opinions and feedback more than they used to. I'm not saying they ignore the community. Of course, they don't. They get community's feedback and bug report and bug bounties and all of that stuff. But now you see it's managed in a different way. It's organized via DAO. So this has a more, this is more impactful. So, you know, you have to
deal
with
that. And now that I've been SanFam since 2021. So mm-hmm. I saw what SanFam was before the DAO. And as an experienced publisher, I got to see the back end of studio to sandbox relationship being a experienced publisher. So when you say that more than they're used to, like they have to interact with community now more than they're used to, I completely understand what you mean. And what wasn't obvious to me was that that situation, FreeDAO, is the same situation you're in, where you have to convince, collaborate. Mm-hmm. Like I think if I had known that, I would have been far less demanding and intense.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned that roadmap SIP that I published before the October version 2 SIP process. I remember being really aggressive with you all about that, because I'm like, we need a roadmap, we need it right now. And like just the back and forth, and poor Geraldine, I apologize to her all the time. Just I was aggressive and relentless about it, and now I understand. Now I get why it wasn't just sure, here it is right now.
Exactly. I have no authority over the sandbox employee at all, but they've been great. I mean, working with them is awesome. They collaborate with me. They try their best to play the game, no pun intended. And but they also have their own bosses, and they have their own vision, and they have their own constraint. Right. So they have to deal with that. And sometimes they feel like they are, you know, how do you say, stuck between the hammer and the hard place. You know, it's difficult for them to manage everything. And I totally understand. But they've been awesome, frankly. And the roadmap being published was a huge win for everybody. For the DAO, for the sandbox, for everybody.
I have it up right now where people can see it. Right.
Right.
Right there. You can see the roadmap, and I love this thing. We just did
and it's updated
on it.
Live. Mm-hmm. So it's not like a one-off thing. They are willing to maintain that piece.
Yeah,
not
I can
only
see...
for the DAO, but for everybody that is interested, because we've got players that don't necessarily vote or pay attention to the DAO, or but they still pay attention to the sandbox product. They can use that as well.
Yeah, I can see when they added stuff last, their activity. like this is cool. This is very close to what I was looking for in the rest of the community. So and if I didn't say it, thank you. Thank you for working through that and all the convincing you had to do to make that happen. Merci beaucoup.
De rien.
Cool. That's the majority of what I wanted to talk about. Just kind of discuss through the particulars of what's going through your mind, what's your perspective on these sorts of things. Because now that you've done those podcast episodes where you revealed like the battle plan, where you know, NFC Lisbon, the website turns on, this sips, it's going to be great. And then the disappointment that you said you felt at our reaction. I get it. I get it. I get why that was like a good battle plan from a product manager and wanting to, you know, impact and momentum. Like I completely understand it. So
yeah,
I'm glad we're a team. I'm glad that you,
me too.
Yeah. So thank you for being a teammate, and thank you for, I guess you could say patience, but more of like your perseverance, because as intense as I was and as intense as the rest of the community was, you kind of persevered through that. And now we're on the other side of it, and I get it.
Yeah.
And I want to be building with you.
That's awesome. And thank you. I really feel like we are on the other side of the sandstorm. That's a perfect analogy.
Sandstorm. It is. We just keep on hitting it one after another.
Wow.
Play the game, the sandstorm.
Amazing.
Right on. Is there anything that you would like to say? Any plugs, any shout outs?
No, I would say if people are interested in what we do at the Sandbox DAO, you know, just go over to the website, go over on the forum. So it's www.sandboxdao.com. And from there, you can get access to our forum, to our snapshot for voting. If everybody want to reach out to me to understand how DAOing works or is interested into opening their own DAO, they can always visit www.arasak.io or arasak.io, and I'll be happy to oblige.
The DAO maker.
Yep. Yeah, the DAO maker.
And I have the website pulled up right now. It kind of looks a little bit like this, everybody. Just look down, right down there.
Cheers.
Yeah, DAO design, DAO administration, DAO tooling, which is the exact same thing you're doing right now for the Sandbox DAO.
Yep.
Last thing I wanted to ask.
I'm trying to professionalize DAO as a service.
Yeah. DAAS?
Yeah.
What popped in my head just as you're speaking about that, what are some key metrics that we should look out for or that I should pay attention to ensure that you're looked after, just like, you know, you like look after us? I think form registrations, some of the things you put in your biweekly updates.
You mean in terms of DAO performance?
Yes.
Yep. All right. So we've been working with Paul, our new teammates, about KPIs for quite some time. And it's really hard to define, and it's a whole can of worms and probably another podcast episode, but just in 2 seconds. How do you know you've succeeded at building a DAO? How do you know your DAO is successful? What are you looking at? First off, what's the mission of this DAO? So is it about, we believe that for 2025, that's why we've pushed in SIP 23, the mission for the DAO for 2025 is more community engagement and create more SAND utility. So that's
what was that, more community engagement and what?
SAND utility for the token. I mean.
Okay.
So we're going to look at every SIP through that lens. But how you measure SAND utility, how you measure community engagement is what I mean by the KPI stuff. It's hard to pull off. So we've been battling with this for quite some time. We went from something that is super complex to something that is simple. For example, do you measure SAND utility by just measuring the amount of transaction? And if so, this has nothing to do with that. That could be swayed by intraday trading, for example, or arbitrage. And this has nothing to do with the initiative that you do at the Sandbox level or the DAO level. So all of a sudden, your data is polluted. So, you know, trying to be able to extract KPIs that are meaningful and for which we have the right levers to influence them will be, so then we know that when we're doing something, we're moving the needle in the right direction, right? It's what we're working on right now. It's
okay.
But yeah, I think beyond the usual vanity metric of number of followers and presence on the forum and stuff like that, it's very important to get like more voters, more people who delegates, and more SIPs. That's how you measure engagement at the end of the day, right?
Okay. As I DAO horizontal, I take in things from other DAOs. I know I'm not the only one. I can't be the only one. Where as soon as you nail down those KPIs, I think it would be really helpful to post it so that I can see it as well and others. Because as I'm DAOing across DAOs, there are constant opportunities and different little nuggets that I take from them. And I'm at all times looking out for how can I bring that the DAO to improve it? What can I do to help? And if I know what those KPIs look like, then maybe I can focus my efforts on some things that will give you a much higher increase than if I were to just form apply.
I appreciate it. Yeah, at the end of the day, the KPI, I think, are made public because it is a way to track the admin team performance to a lesser degree. It is a way to track the DAO performance as well, because everything we do as an admin team should participate towards this KPI. Everything the author do when they advance a SIP should participate into the betterment of these metrics supported by those KPIs. So they should be made public, because then every time there's a new SIP that is being proposed, we're going to be like, hey, to which KPIs this is attached to, and what are you trying to improve? Are you going to improve send utility, community engagement, nothing at all? You know, what is it? So we're going to use that as a way to assess proposal as well going forward. When will be mature with them, which is a work in process, progress.
Well, that's everything I wanted to go over, Cyril. Thank you so much for your time.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Everyone, this was Sandow podcast number 63 with Cyril Forte, even though I'm butchering his first name.
All right.
And he's the DAO administrator for the Sandbox DAO, has been since the beginning. And we have gone through many stages together, forming, storming. And I think now we are getting to the norming where he's on the podcast now.
There you go.
Me, who used to be an intense critic in some cases. And I appreciated the grace, the patience, and the perseverance, Cyril, to you and your team. Merci beaucoup.
Thank you so much. Thank you, sir.
Au revoir.
Peace. Ciao.